Welcome back to the Crooked Spine Show. Today's talk is about shoulder stability with Derek and Dr. Tony, episode number 7. We talk about first in part 1 of this shoulder stability is using the upper back to understand where the shoulder stability can be coming from. We talk about the upper back, the overall posture of the back where it should be, along with the function of the upper back and thoracic and scapula, along with two, increasing mobility over time of the upper back, using a couple exercises such as a foam roller, a thoracic arch board, which you can see in the video, along with a broomstick. He shows how the broomstick can use to move that upper back properly. Also, to increasing flexibility. In part 3 of this talk, we talked about also increasing strength of the upper back and shoulders by causing lying on your back, moving your spine individually, using your mind and body connection together, along with pinching and touching your back as you move it, along with pelvic tilting. And again, watch the videos if you want. That one explains it in detail, Derek does, in the podcast. The video has more visual explanation too. Again, what we're doing in this talk is understanding shoulder stability can sometimes come from the upper back first, overall posture, position, flexibility, and strength. And then in part 2 down the line, we'll talk about how the shoulder itself can become more stable in the shoulder joint over time. All right, so hope you enjoyed talking, my friends. Also, links to our previous podcast, this video of the podcast too, and also highlights from the video and podcast will be in the show notes too. So enjoy the talk, my friends. Hope your upper back and shoulder feels better from this, and we'll see you next week. Have a good week.
All right, let's do it. Hey, Mr. Derek, hey. How are you doing? Another month, another episode.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me back on.
Of course. 2021, we're getting things started again. We want to focus right now, based on what I'm seeing in my office especially, is people are coming to a lot of shoulder pain up here, over here, neck, everywhere. So I want to walk through your assessment, how you go through your system, how to help someone who's an athlete or a weekend warrior or just a normal house mom, how to get that shoulder pain out of there.
Yeah, for sure. You know, my area of expertise, if I were to niche out an area of expertise with myself, would be the shoulder joint. You know, it's where I spent the most amount of my career learning extensively in its functionality and whatnot. So today I thought we'd talk about creating a bulletproof scapula functionality. Okay, and so what I'd like to talk about first is spinal posture and its effect on movement quality. So the first thing you want to really understand about the shoulder is how key our spine is for its functionality or its movement quality, however you wanted to articulate that. So there's three pieces to our spine, like I've talked about in the past when I've been going over the torso a little bit. We got a lumbar, your lower back, a thoracic cavity that's comprised of 12 vertebrae, which is kind of like your middle back, and then you have a cervical spine, which is your neck. The scapula moves along the rib cage, and so in order for scapula functionality to be of high quality, your body has to be really good at using the part of the spine that it swims on, so to speak.
And to back it up, one second, show them where the scapula actually is. Some of my people, they just don't know, you know?
Yeah.
So go ahead.
So with Doc here, you know, your scapula is kind of up in here. So again, lumbar, thoracic, kind of your upper back and cervical neck in here. The scapula primarily kind of moves around this part. So it's like the shoulder blade is kind of our layman's terms that we use for that, you know? And so it's just kind of this kind of winged shaped bone here. It's got a point down here and it kind of comes up in here like that. So your brain moves the scapula to aid in different shoulder movements. So the shoulder is a unique joint where it's not really encompassed by bone, right? The anatomical name, is it circumduction, Anthony? Is that or?
Yes. Okay. That sounds good to me.
Okay, so there's, you know, different joints are locked in by bones, but our shoulder's not like that. It's muscle, ligament, and tendon. That's kind of all you got. There's a little hook bone up here called an acromion bone. But other than that, your brain moves your shoulder around, through scapula function and the deltoids up in here, your front, your side, and your rear shoulder, they're the deltoids. So what I'm getting at is this, if you're having shoulder pain, like Anthony said, a lot of it has to do with now is because of technology, and people are beginning to use technology at such a young age. You know, most kids that I work with in here who are athletic, they're 7 years old, they already have a phone, right? And so they're in this kind of posture, often, which is called forward head posture, and when you're in this posture, your brain tightens up your trapezius, pushes the thoracic out into this rounded position like this, and that takes your shoulder blade and it elevates it on the rib cage like this. So people are in this type of posture. Now there's a synergistic effect to all movements that we have in our body with our muscle system. So if your body is elevating the scapula, your brain is using the muscles in the back side of your body to lift that, but there's also a synergistic effect where the brain will use the muscles in the front of the body to kind of use it all together or to help or to make the movement more efficient. So with the scapula, when it comes up, the upper part of your chest, your pectoralis, it's got different pieces, let's say. The upper part's called the minor, and that kind of runs in your armpit and attaches up in here, okay? And so when the shoulder comes up, your body aids in that movement of the scapula to bring the shoulder essentially, let's say, upwards. Levitation, and the pectoralis minor will shorten to make that movement of greater quality, more efficient is the best way I would say that, okay? So when that happens is these muscles get tight. So if you're out there and you have shoulder pain, generally it's going to be at the top back of the shoulder, right, Anthony? Is that probably where you get it the most?
I tell them posterior delt muscle, basically posterior delt, medial delt, anterior delt, that point they kind of separate those muscles. Mm-hmm. But if you had mentioned these muscles are so strong sometimes, mm-hmm. you're going to pull things forward, make that muscle weaker and tighter.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. So there you go. So what you have to actually do first is a lot of people will focus in here. Even therapists, you know, before I had my own studio, I worked in a clinic as a specialist around PTs every day. And a lot of the times they'll, you know, in my opinion, we're too hyper-focused here. And where you essentially need to go to is always in body movements is the root cause or where movement originates, okay, the origin of everything. So you have to go to the thoracic cavity, and usually it's like T6 and 7, okay? Those specific vertebrae, if you want to turn around, Doc, okay?
If you don't fall.
Yeah, so we got. So here we go. We got the back. Let's just say thoracic starts here. You okay with that, Anthony? Okay, and then it ends here. Okay, now within here, you got your numbers. So we're going to be kind of right around in here, kind of the middle of your middle back, let's say that. Those specific vertebrae, 6 and 7, your brain needs to be really good at taking them and moving them like this. Let me turn my hand so you guys can see that. So this would be a flex state, and then Anthony's in flexion, and then he tries to extend it. You can see how my hand kind of bows like this through my knuckles. The same thing is in your spine. So what you have to do is you have to strengthen your thoracic extension capabilities, okay? Now, when you begin to strengthen things, you can turn around, Doc. When you begin to strengthen things, the first thing that you have to do is increase the movement quality. So that's a real general way I'm going to say of talking about mobility, okay? The joint's ability to move itself the way that it was intended to be moved, okay? A lot of people are very stiff and rigid in this specific part of their middle back. So what you have to do is you have to begin to kind of loosen it up, you know? It's like if you were to take your fingers and you were to do this kind of stuff like this, right? That's kind of what you want your spine to be able to do. You want your spine to be able to wave itself like this and whatnot real easily. So you have to, a lot of times people are so tight or they've been in the flex state for so long, desk people as well, and even myself, a lot of exercises are done on the ground like I've mentioned. I'm leaned forward a lot, instructing people and helping people, you know, kind of looking down at them like this throughout the day. Like Anthony, you know, a lot of his work is done on the table, so he's in flexion, you know, so you do have to be aware of that. So what do you do? I'm going to get a couple different things, sure. Anthony, real quick.
I'll adjust the camera if you need me to, sir.
Yeah. So let's do, we'll do three things, okay? And what I'll do is I know we're getting a slow start here on my explanations, but you guys just kind of stick with me and it'll all kind of come together at the end here. So here we go. You have to get the quality of movement in the spine to be better, okay? Now there's different tools that we use as a specialist to help people with that. So I'm gonna go with the most common one in our culture. The foam roller, okay? So, you know, what a lot of people will do is they'll get their body on the roller and they'll stick it in their lumbar, like, oh, I got back pain, you know, so they'll stick it in their lumbar. Back pain usually originates with lack of pelvic stability, number one. Anthony, would you agree with that?
Yep,
okay.
Yep.
And then internal oblique weakness, okay? But we're talking about the spine.
Okay.
So we're in here. So you want to put the roller above the lumbar. Okay, so if you see my back from the side, this is the lumbar, now we're in the thoracic. So we're going to take the thoracic and divide it into three pieces, four, four, and four vertebrae. You go lower, your degree of knee flexion is going to dictate how much the exact area of location. The more inflection you are, barring where the roller is, the lower down the thoracic you're going to get. The more an extension the knee joint is, the further up based on where the apparatus is placed in the spine, and then you can position the toes and feet in different places and all this kind of stuff, lean or whatever. But we're just talking generally today. So what you want to do is get your body in here like this again, so the roller is above the lower back, and you just need to tell the brain that it's okay to let it go and get in here and then bring yourself back up. Now there's different opinions on this, Andy, Anthony, anytime you want to integrate, just, you know, go hop in here, but
go for it.
I like to hold positions for 3 to 15 seconds, depending on the capability of the person that I'm working with. With my own spine, I like to do 7 to 15 second holds with weight in my hand to, you know, further the spine's capability and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, I would add, is especially someone who's coming in from an injury or something like that, or overall chronic tightness, is know where your guard point is. Where are you going to start guarding to where that flexion, that stretch, where you'll kind of negate that purpose?
Okay, great. That's such a great point that Anthony just made. And here's how I would instruct the person. Let's say you're tired, right? And you're on here like, yeah, this hurts. Okay, first thing you got to do is you want to support your cervical spine with your hands like this. So, because these muscles in the front here are going to be forced, they're going to be called upon to be tightened, okay? And your abdominal muscles as well, primarily the rectus, okay? So when you're in here, what you really want to do is let your neck muscles relax and rest in your hands, number one. Once you've done that, then you need to tell your body to stop tightening the rectus and the spine will go into extension.
Good.
So you go in here like this and you just let it go. Now, Anthony made a good point. Your degree and the speed that you do that at, if you're tight, should be less and slow. The hold time should be lesser as well, okay? And you can just do this very gently. The larger the apparatus that you're going to choose to do this, the greater amount of vertebrae that are going to be called upon to go into extension. So if you're using the roller, you know, use probably 2 or 3 locations for a thoracic mobility routine. This would be location 1 on the lower portion, you know, the lower 4 vertebrae. Then the middle, your ribs, you'll see my ribs, they'll kind of expand more in this position than they did in this position. Okay? And then you go up here to the top of the thoracic, which is kind of about the tip of the scapula, maybe a little bit more than that. And then you would just release it in here like this. Okay? And you could, there's different opinions on this. You want people like repetition, where I think holding in the beginning. You should hold it and really just let gravity push you down. And it takes time. That's why I said the length of the holds and stuff like that and all that jazz.
Is this okay, more for ligaments or more for muscle, Derek?
Well, this is for joint movement quality, number one. By moving through the joint like that, your muscles will be awakened, let's say, to a greater capability in a specific movement pattern like that.
Good.
So you're tight here. We want the brain to like I said, be awakened to a greater extension capability like that, okay? So most common, if you got one of these at home, great tool. Most people, most American households have this in their house.
You should be able to buy a house with that in their room.
Yeah.
Especially California.
And so next is this. Now this is a great tool. You know, I have, this is actually mine. I have had this board since I've been 12 years old, to be honest with you guys. Okay,
wow.
I'm 39 years old. I've had this since I was 12. I had a great chiropractor. His name is Dr. Michael Fisk. You know, he really saved my baseball career, you know, or lack thereof. And he fixed my knees and my back and all this kind of, I had bone differential in my legs. And I learned a lot about the body at a young age because of my areas that I had around skeleton. Because of all that jazz, my spine, and because I did play baseball and I was a pitcher, my shoulder health was really important to me at a young time in my life, so I always had to kind of take care of my back and make my back really strong. It's what you do if you're a pitcher. And so this has been mine, like I said, forever. And so there's different sizes of these, okay? This is from a company, I think it's in Canada. Great, great company. But he's like, just get the most extreme one and learn how to teach your body to let it go over time.
Nice.
You can buy these at different heights, you guys, if you want to try to find them. But, you know, just go with the extreme. Now, here's how you use this thing. This is an awesome tool. Now, this depending on the position of your rear end and your pelvis, is going to dictate where the body's going to go into extension. So if my rear end is further away from the board, it's going to be more, the extension's going to occur in the upper part of my spine more. If I'm closer to the board with my pelvis and glutes, then it's going to be, the lumbar will be involved in the extension. Now, some people are so tight in their thoracic, Anthony, that they can't even get it. Yeah. Okay? So you have to learn, how to relax your body. And it's very tough because people are, you know, there's a lot of stress right now, and it's a challenge. People are tight. Right?
Okay. I think some people don't know how to be uncomfortable to feel a stress.
Oh, that's a good way to describe it. Yeah,
you got
to
learn.
Am I interrupting you?
No, you're good.
Okay, so it's like, you got to learn, first you want to understand your muscle system enough. It's not like you'd be some expert, okay? But you need to know that what happens in the front has a reaction to the back and vice versa. So when you're trying to let yourself go and get extension in your joints and stuff like that, you got to try to learn to come to, you know, have some peace with yourself and let the muscles go and bring yourself back. So again, gravity is where you start out. So if I want to get further up my spine, a good way to do that safely is to bring the ball underneath your knees like this. When you bring the knee into flexion, it will relax the hamstrings and the abdominal muscles and the muscles that are attached to the pelvis, the wall per se, it will let go. And the brain is like, it relaxes, okay? And if these are looser, what happens in the back will be looser also.
Good.
So when you're in this position, I want to feel, what I do with people when they're tight is I want to tell them that they want to try to feel the back get arched in the upper middle back, which is going to be kind of like at the bottom of your shoulder blade and a little bit on top of the shoulder blade, okay? So you get your feet further away from the board and you bring yourself over this and you just learn to kind of lay here and let it go. Everybody, they're always like, oh, this hurts my neck, man. Okay, so you do what I told you earlier, which is this. Now, you're not going to go as far if you're in here, okay? So you have to learn how to put a little bit of pressure with your fingertips so that your scap can stay out and your ribcage can be, you know, expanded like when the diaphragm fires.
Okay,
so it'll elongate the intercostals, create separation within the ribs, and allow the bones to go into extension, you know, and I'm referencing the spine. So
you almost want to keep everything relaxed, not tighten up even your shoulders here, I'm assuming, to hold your head up, because that's going to make the overall back tighten.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can't do that. The synergy is the middle tighten. It'll want to flex it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're in here like this, the fingertip. Now, in time, you want to learn to let it all go and eventually bring your arms in here and get them back further. Okay?
Yeah.
And let's say when I work with people, they have shoulder pain and they're tight. In order for me to really help their shoulder, Anthony, I have to get the spine really, really strong. The deep longissimus, the spinalis muscles that align the spine. Those really, really deep ones, you know. And you know those better than myself.
I've seen it before.
What you have to do is you have to force it to happen, but you have to do that gently. And it occurs over time. So that's kind of a dichotomous, but this is what I'm talking about. Look, it's like this. This weight along with gravity will introduce to my spine a possibility that right now the brain doesn't want to do it because it's protecting us from injury. So when you are tight in here, you have to kind of break through a wall. And how you do that is gravity plus an external load. Okay, so there's different places that you should put the ball. I like to go in sequence, where you put it on the above the rib, kind of almost in the throat. And these soft sandbell balls are great because you can roll them on the face and they'll compress into the ball. They're more comfortable.
Yeah.
Medicine balls or, you know, towels, you know, martial arts people, they pull on their heads and stuff to make them stronger and stuff. They're good, but they're more uncomfortable, you know? These little guys, you can just roll it up the face, let it rest, put it on your face, and then eventually the forehead, and then you start bringing it down here like this, where I'm actually not allowing the ball to get to the ground, and then you can reach
and the reach will further the extension, and then you can put it down, and then you can pull the body, move it out, pull the body, move it out, you know, and that kind of thing.
You see that, Anthony?
Yep.
Just you can use your own strength to increase your mobility and stuff like that. And then you want to work yourself down the spine. You move your butt closer, you bend your knees a little bit more. I'll show you guys this one where it'll kind of, my spine's getting extension in like the lower middle of my thoracic. So I would get in here and let gravity bring me down over time, and I can get myself in here, and then I can pull into extension. Okay, so now the brain's kind of, you know, been introduced where it's like, oh wow, you know, I'm looser, my spine is, let's say, it feels longer.
So this is basically the first thing you would do after an assessment, correct?
After the shoulder assessment that I do, yeah, that I'll do with people, that lets me determine where the mobility enhancement needs to take place, okay. The apparatus that I'll use. For some people, it's very intricate. Like for an overhand throwing athlete, like if I'm working with like a collegiate baseball player and they're throwing 87 to 92 mile an hour fastball, well, they want to always obviously try to throw harder, but they also want to try to limit their risk of injury and enhance their endurance and stuff like that. So that's when you got to get a little more intricate, because obviously they're genetically gifted, they're doing physical things like that, so they're probably pretty good at the general things. Some of them, you know, I'm surprised how lack of mobility they have in their thoracic and how fast they can still throw. But that's usually when they'll injure a tendon or a ligament, because the mobility isn't, you know, and over time it wears down the connective tissue that's not muscle.
And also you talked about you started when you were 12 years old. When do you see things start to wear themselves down as they get older, or throwing more, or throwing harder? What
is the range? Usually it's in the late teens, junior, senior year in high school, when poor spine health has affected the scapular movement along the ribs. We're talking about baseball guy right now.
Yeah, yeah.
It has a negative effect on the shoulder blades, movement on the ribs, the quality of the movement, and because of that, now it's tendon irritation. And you know, most you know, dads and then you know, middle school and high school coaches, they do a pretty good job at trying to get their kid healthy, but they're not an expert, and you know, they're just doing the best they can. You know, I mean, their expertise is their line of work, or you know, governing the team if you're the coach, leadership, those kind of things. It's not like, you know, anatomical knowledge. So you have to, you know, you want to seek professional counsel with that kind of stuff. If you're beginning to develop first, it's going to start off with a weakness and lack of endurance. That's when you know you're kind of on the downslide there, when your endurance begins to just all of a sudden just kind of disappear. You probably got something going on.
Yeah, if the joint's not moving well enough, any joint in the body, you can't keep doing it over and over again if the muscle can hold that strength, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the muscle, they get tired, man. Yeah, for sure. So if you got a good one here, you want to get crazy, you go smaller. This is just an old broom handle. You know, I'd use it to do mobility work with the shoulder and stuff like that. But what you can do is you can take this, and I'll have you come right here real quick, Doc. If you just get down like on your knees or something and turn to the side so they could see your spine. So let's pretend that that Anthony is laying down on the ground, okay? And so you would take this wooden dowel and put it within one vertebra. So I can go through and I can analyze through different movement tests that I do where specific vertebra mobility needs to take place. Usually it's like three or four of them in the general population. But with a baseball guy, I'm like, you know, these four here, we want to get them to loosen up a little bit so I can strengthen them, which is what we'll go into next. So you just would place this. Anthony would bring his hands behind his head, like this, or he would straighten them a little bit. You want to just let them go, Anthony, kind of like this on both sides. Okay, and then eventually he goes straight. And then, you know, we would position his feet and his femur, his upper leg, in a different way. Bring your left foot out in front of you, Anthony.
Sure.
So if Anthony's on his back right now, I'm just trying to give you guys it'd be like his knee would be bent, okay? When you do that kind of stuff, it will further the pressure or gravitational force into Anthony's bones, and the stick will rise up in his back more or extend his vertebra more. You can put it all down.
Sure.
So this is just a way to get more intricate. It's a little bit extreme. I don't recommend that you do that at all unless you're doing it with a professional, or, you know, if you're a strong man or woman and you have experience, I suppose you could give it a try. If you receive pain from this, I would drape a towel over that, and it will soften the blow into the bone, because it is rather uncomfortable.
Well, give it a try. So you've been called Derek to help fix it after. break something or hurt something.
Yeah, that's good, Doc. You get up, man. Right. For sure. So, anyways, you guys, that's where it all starts. You want to mobilize that spine first. After that, once the quality of movement is there, that's when you begin to now strengthen a joint. Okay?
Good, good.
So you have to first improve its quality of movement. Once the movement quality is optimal, I really focus big time on all my clients having awesome functionality, you know, and that doesn't mean you don't want to make them look better or feel sexy or whatever it is that they're wanting to do with their aesthetic side of their goals and stuff like that, right? But you need to make, in order for them to really get where they want to go long term, you got to make them move better, number one. So, you know, there's an all-encompassing approach there that you should do as a professional when you're working with the body. You got to make them move. You know, make them smooth and stuff like that, loose and agile in their joints. It kind of sounds weird, but
it's something where you talk about find the root cause first, build up from there. So that point, what the result is now functionally proper. So that they know how to, if something happens, how to fix that again, because now you've broken each piece down for them.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's perfectly.
I just reword what he says. That makes sense.
Yeah, but Anthony does it. He's simple. It's real good, simple. Now, this is going to look a little weird. I call some of these exercises, it's like the exorcist, right?
Oh.
Now, there's all different ways that you can strengthen spinal extension, okay? But really, the best way to learn it is from your I would say it's from your back, when you lay down on your back, okay?
Okay.
And what you are, and so you're not, it's, I mean, I'll demonstrate this, but you guys can't really see much from the movement. It's more about understanding how to use your nervous system, and let's talk about two different parts of the nervous system. Okay. Let's say, we'll just say the general one, general signaling down the spine, where you use your mind and you tell yourself to bend your finger like this. So you look at it, you say bend, you know, and your brain bends the finger, right?
Yeah.
It's the same thing in your spine. You want to reach over here and grab a plate or a cup off the counter, you turn your body and you reach and you do that. The movement originates like in the pelvis. It stabilizes it before it gets into your oblique a little bit and then into the transverse, and then your body twists. There's a sequential order to all movements that we do in life.
Good.
So with the with your back and wanting to extend it, you first want to use your mind to just try to let's pretend I'm on the ground right now, and you just want to use your brain to try to go in here and to just arch your back. Now, what you want to understand is your brain and its signaling. And this is extreme. Not everybody needs to do this.
Yeah.
But there's a signal that we have in our brain correlated with each vertebra in your spine. And you can actually, with practice, like anything else, just like throwing a baseball or swinging a bat or shooting a free throw, you get really good at doing things with your brain, okay? And with joints in your body, you know, dancing if you're a dancer or whatever, you know. You can signal down your spine and learn how to go into each vertebra, okay? Now, obviously, for my job, I had to learn and figure that out in my body so that I'm not going to be able to tell somebody else how to do it if I don't even know how to do it in my own body, right? So, you know, it's like these are things that you do when you fix people or to try to improve athletic performance. If a kid's stuck trying to throw, he's stuck at 86 miles an hour, largely it's because, number one, they have issues with their feet and ankle a lot of the times, but as you work up the chain, you get in the spine, well, they don't know how to use their brain to get their spine to go into extension, which is very key for overhand throwing athletes because it improves the quality of scapular movement on the rib cage, and essentially it will let it move faster, which will improve velocity.
Nice.
Okay, so you have to understand that. But for general people, because of this all day or this, you got to learn how to get in your spine and go up your spine in your brain and learn how to arch your spine all the way up into the brain and up into your neck and stuff like that. That takes practice. So you want to make movements easy to achieve in the beginning.
Is breathing involved too? That does breathing help that?
Oh my gosh, yeah. Now our diaphragm is a muscle, and I could talk about that for an hour. Okay,
no, please don't.
But you need to learn how to use the diaphragm as well as connect with the intercostals if you are injured sometimes. When I rehabilitate shoulders, for general people, and especially for athletes of overhand throwing nature, swimmers, baseball guys, tennis dudes, or ladies, whatever, okay? You need to teach them how to blow their ribs out. Sounds crazy, okay? But they need to learn how to move their ribs out and back, and you know, it's kind of wacky, but it's possible.
Yeah.
There's, like, seriously, sometimes I'll sit them down and I'll hug them,
and it'll force their brain to learn how to expand out and breathe against the force of my pressure, or I'll put my hands in the ribcage and it'll kind of squeeze their ribs, you know, doc.
Good.
And you do that from different body positions, prone, you know, supine, up, yeah. Face up, face down.
Feel
that. Yeah, I'm just trying to help them out. Yeah. It's because of the somatosomatic nervous system in the skin. See, that's what I was getting at when I mentioned two parts of our nervous system. The somatosomatic's in our skin. It's like if you want to smile and you're sad, if you touch your face in this area, your smile will grow bigger to the area that you're touching. So if you're trying to fix somebody's spine, you know, or something like that, I'll lay them down, I'll touch them, I'll be like, right here, you know, and they can't do it. But if I put more pressure and actually bring a little bit of pain into the area, the brain figures it out real quick because you don't like pain. The brain wants to get rid of it. So sometimes, you know, like if you pinch them a little bit, you know, and they're like, you know, just that little bit of pinch, but the brain will wire that signal more efficiently and I can fix them faster. So it's not like I'm pinching people in here all day, but it's like, you know, sometimes you do that stuff because it helps them transfer the signal.
They know where it is. They can know exactly what you're talking about versus just talk's not going to really cause that area to move because they've learned to move differently without touching that area.
Exactly, yeah. So let me show you just some quick things you guys can do at home, okay?
Yeah, to the side. That'd
be okay. So what you want to do is you want to lay down on the ground and keep your heels very close to your glutes area, right in here, right, your backside down here. And the first thing you want to do is just learn how to really take your pelvis and tilt it forward like this, okay, anterior tilt. Can they see that, Doc?
You bring this down a little bit. You lower the camera. I can. Right there, and maybe one more. Just to see. This high-tech equipment, I don't know what I do without Amazon. Yep.
All right, how's it
going? You're good.
All right, cool. So check it out, right? So your brain's attached to your pelvis, your spine is down there. So if you want your spine to, the origin of movement to occur very low in the spinal column, you need to tilt your pelvis like this. They can see that, can't they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so you guys check it out. So we go in here. Now, you're in your lumbar. What you need to try to do is further arch your spine all the way up like this. Okay?
Ooh.
So you want to learn how to, and that helps if you keep your eyes closed, because the less sensory reception that our brain has, the greater connection it can have with a specific area of emphasis, what you're trying to do with your movement, okay? So, you know, I recommend that you learn things with your eyes closed, generally speaking. So you would, you know, close your eyes and just try to arch as much as you can and come back down. I don't recommend you hold it for very long. You can tighten them up. If you get cramping, it'll let you know that you're weak in that and you should strengthen it anyway. Okay? So after that, you put the hands down and you're going to press into the ground and squeeze your shoulder blades. When you retract the scapula, the brain extends the thoracic cavity. So you're going to arch your back or tilt your pelvis forward. Then you're going to press your palms down and you'll feel up your spine, it will start to arch. Then if you want a greater arch, up, let's say right now we're like right here in my back, probably right here it feels like on the other side. If I want to go up my spine, let's say three vertebra, well then I'm going to squeeze. And you guys can see how my back will rise up. It's called synergism. Retraction of one muscle moves the skeleton in one way and it will affect the skeleton throughout the course of the movement in another. So then what we can do is we can get to here, squeeze, and then bend the elbows and press with your elbows, and that will go further up the spine even more. So you guys can see in here, I'll move the arm so it's rising up in here, okay? And then what you do after that is you bring your elbows up and you push your scapula from here and then out and you arch like this. Now, in time, if you're athletic, there's things you can do with your arms and hands. One of those is you can begin to bring them in here. Now, when I bring the scapula down the rib cage, which is essentially what's happening here, it will further extend the thoracic upwards, okay? So you see how I have a greater arch in my back, and I can put pressure, and I can arch more into my back. And you can begin to do things where you like begin to rise the body up, you know, and do stuff like this, okay? And again, those are extreme examples that I'm giving you guys, but I just want to show you from basic to extreme, and, you know, you can go all the way up there, and you can move yourself, and, you know, learn how to come up, and, you know, there's all kinds of things that you can do with your spine and stuff like that. So I just wanted to show you guys general, show you a little bit of extreme in there.
How long should you actually hold that position for? What's a good routine to start, I guess, to get things to start moving? What's a good time frame to work on?
Okay, yeah. So I would say movement, when you're holding movements, that you want to start out 2 to 3 seconds.
Okay.
And you
okay.
don't want to be overly aggressive. You want to be gentle with the contraction of the movement and just hold it 2 to 3 and then let it go. And then you can lengthen hold times from 3 to 5, 5 to 7, 7 to, you know, maybe make a little bit of a jump, like to 10 seconds, and then you can, you know, by that time you're pretty well conditioned, you can probably do like a 15 second hold.
Cool.
But it's all dependent upon your tolerance level,
yeah.
your background, how strong you are in that specific area, all that kind of
stuff. And you kind of play with it as you go, right? So if you can have some areas you're going to feel pretty good, normal now, I'm like, I have to work on this area, so let me go back here and work on this even more.
Yeah, be careful when you do play, per se, in an area. I would say that it's very important that you do things, in my opinion, generally speaking, things with our muscle system should be done in a linear fashion. Linear meaning things should be done sequentially with gradual increases in volume, meaning repetition or hold time in this,
yep.
you know, or in intensity, meaning how hard something is. In strength training, that's usually when you would increase the amount of weight that somebody mm-hmm. would be lifting and those kind of things. So be very linear in that when you're introducing new things to your body, because the body receives the stress safer.
Got it.
Yeah, so, you know, spine, this is what you guys see most in the culture, is the angry cat like this, where you learn to arch your body and move through the pelvis like this. I think that you should learn from the back first, because it's actually a little harder. And it's like your brain will get wired and it'll get better at it. So when you come to the angry cat, the quadruped position like this, it's like it's easier for it, and you'll benefit yeah. from it more, actually. So that's a philosophy thing. As far, you know, so there's, you know, different opinions on that that might be counter to some professionals' education.
Well, you mentioned you like being where you have to, by touching something, you allow more tactile sensation to get the brain to retrain or reprogram by lying down, like you'd mentioned. That pressure system allows things to really feel where you're moving things.
Yeah, because when you're quadruped, what Doc's saying is this.
Yeah.
When you're like this, there's nothing to touch me. I just have gravitational force on my body right now. But when I'm on the ground like that,
yeah.
I feel something coming back in my body. And so your brain will like hardwire and it uses it better.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know what
yeah.
I'm saying? Yeah. So that's, you know, hey, that's what's up. I don't know if I had anything else.
No, that's great for this show. That point.
Yeah,
that.
For sure. There's a couple moves, you know, Doc. Yeah. Next time, you know, stay tuned for rotator cuff function and its effect on posture and even your organs. I'll talk a little bit about how.
Number two,
how our organs are affected by your muscles at each joint, and it gets pretty crazy how intricate we really are. But for sure. But hey, for general health, this is a good place to start. I think all this stuff is very safe.
Yeah.
I think that you agree with that.
Oh yeah. The only thing that you've done is on the floor, around the floor.
Yeah.
At that point, it's hard to hurt yourself around the floor. If you hurt yourself, and we really can't help you.
Yeah. So just be careful with this stuff, though, man. I'm telling you, like, you
yeah,
know.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, this thing is so awesome.
Yeah.
I'm so thankful for that thing. But
yeah.
this is an okay tool. You know, it's a somewhere to start.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So get in here and learn how to use it and learn how to get, you know, better. And I always like to give you guys a
yeah.
couple different examples of kind of, you know, easy, moderate, and challenging. And then I like to throw the extreme in there. But, you know, these balls are good tools. You just want to be very careful with them, because when I gave you the demonstrations, and when you begin to put pressure in
yeah.
through the jaw and by way of that into the cervical spine or, you know, the skull or whatever, there is a risk of injury there. So you have to make sure that the movement quality is good first. And that's why you need to have, you know, chiropractic adjustments. So the skeleton is in good functioning order, right? Or alignment is kind of the word that we use most in the culture.
And you mentioned too, it's sequential. So if you're doing that stretch where you're leaning over the arch, that point, you're going to feel, why is my neck tight?
Should I get
checked
out?
Why? Before you even get to the ball on your chin, you're going to go, that doesn't feel right. Just the weight of my head going backwards. What's going on there? So you're almost reassessing yourself as you go through this, and as you maintain these stretches and routine as a routine over time, hopefully, we always cross our fingers, we hope you do.
Yeah.
At that point, you're going to know, okay, there's something going on here. You're going to know how to treat your body and when to get treatment,
so you don't hurt yourself even further.
That's why I went with that's why I acquired the sports medicine specialist certification, because see, it allows me to touch people now. So because of that, I can't manipulate bones like Doc can. Okay, I can't, you know, the cracking, right? But what I can do is position the skeleton in a certain way and use pressure through a muscle into a joint, right? And different kind of recruitments into different joints and stuff like that to bring the skeleton into alignment. It's a way, it's a soft tissue kind of way of doing that. You
so kind of back to that anyway, see, it's almost like wherever you can get the butts, the spine to move, things to move properly, that's the plan. That's our hope, is can we get you to understand through these videos, because Derek has done very detailed videos, even including this one, to help you understand, okay, if I understand my body, because it's your body, not ours, how do I get myself looser, stronger, healthier, if you're a weekend warrior like myself, or someone looking to go pro, at that point, how do you feel good about what you're doing and know when it's not good, how to find help and what's going on with your body?
That's awesome, yeah, for sure. So, all right. So check it out. You know, like I always tell you guys, man, you guys are always welcome to give me a call, to connect with me on any social media platform I have. Check me out on my website at lpecoaching.com. Life Performance Enhancement is the name of my private training studio here in Upland. And so, you know, I'm just here to help out the community, man.
We'll put everything on the show notes too, as usual, at that point. And come in, hey, look, Derek, I'm having problems with this. Can you give me an assessment, see what's going on?
Yeah.
That will help you if you're a golfer, not get frustrated. If you're a tennis player, not get beat by your friends every week. You know, that point, the peer pressure is sometimes even more worse than paying for something. So at that point, enjoy your life, my friends. Have a good week. We'll see you in about 3 or 4 weeks or so. The part two, which again is what, Derek?
Oh, we're going to talk about rotator cuff function and its effect on your posture. So your rotator cuff does other things besides just rotate your humerus and stuff like this. A lot of people have rotator cuff issues, and again, it all comes back to the spine. Essentially, Doc, that's kind of where I'm at now, really. Your spine dictates so much, but that you do also have to pay attention to the actual rotator cuff itself. So I thought that'd be a good thing for us to talk about.
All of it, my friend. Thank you.
Thanks, Doc. Appreciate it. See you guys soon. Thanks. Thank you for having me on today.